You're listening to CLNS Radio, home to the original Celtics podcast, Celtics Stuff Live.
Boston fans, this is what you've been waiting for.
Thomas, in the paint, tries to spin it up and down.
It's Celtics coverage on CLNSradio.com.
Into Crowder, takes it. Got it! 8 tenths of a second to go!
So what are you waiting for? Dial in right now and share your thoughts toll-free, 347-215-7771.
What happened here? Marcus Smart at the buzzer!
All right, everybody. Welcome to CLNS Radio's Draft Lottery Show. We are so excited to bring this to you tonight. A lot riding on tonight's outcome. A lot of excitement. A lot of, I think, nervousness as Celtics fans, as we're all waiting to find out how the ping pong balls fall right now. And hopefully, some good news is headed towards the Celtics way. I'm John Duke. Many of you know me from Celtics Stuff Live. I'm obviously glad to be with CLNS Radio this entire season. It's been great to do that and really glad to kind of jump in the chair. And for the first time for me, Josue Pavón is going to be joining me as my co-host tonight. Josue, what's happening, my man, and how are you feeling about the Celtics' chances tonight?
I'm feeling good. Reasonably good. I don't know, man. I'm trying to stay positive here, ready for whatever happens tonight. But overall, I'd say I'm feeling decent.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I think we've all been down this road, right? We've
too many
been
times.
There. We too many times. Right on. I mean, we've seen how bad this can be. We've seen some real kind of heartache, I suppose, if those of us to go way back to the Tim Duncan draft, but. This year is a gift, I think, right? We've got to look at this as some found money. We all had the pleasure of watching the Brooklyn Nets struggle this season, so perhaps not as much as we would have liked at times. But
yeah, especially against
here we are in this position. It's pretty great. It's a pretty good position to be in, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not a bad position. I mean, this is a team that's obviously a playoff team. They're not too far away from getting out of the first round, but of course, that's not the, you know, destination of this team overall. Of course, you know, we want to see this team back to being a championship contending Celtics team that we saw not too long ago during the Big Three era. So I think that's obviously in everyone's mind. You look at what the things that Danny Ainge had to say at the end of the season when he was pretty much making it clear that he's going to need a little bit of luck here. You know, he's going to need a little bit of luck in these ping pong balls. And tonight will determine which direction this team goes towards right before they kick off their offseason.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, I don't know. I mean, I've looked at, certainly going back to 2007, that was a big summer that we didn't, but we didn't really anticipate how big that summer would be. I can't think of another season, maybe even other than the one where we had with Grossbeck talking about fireworks and we're going to have fireworks all this. Right? I mean, that's unrealistic expectations. You got to feel like, and maybe I'm wrong, Josue, but my feeling is something is going to happen. They can't go on much longer with the way they've been headed. This team, you've got to think come October, come training camp, there's going to be a big change in this team one way or the other. I think tonight's maybe the first step into figuring out what that might be or maybe how far down that road they can go, right?
Right. Well, tonight we find out how big that step's going to be. It could be, you know, worst case scenario, fourth, fifth, pick, which is obviously going to be in the direction towards another, okay, let's try to pick up a piece here and there from the free agency pool. Let's re-sign Evan Turner, and let's work with this rookie and see if we can get ourselves out of the first round and shoot for next year. And then there's the other end, right, which is, you know, getting a top two, top maybe even that top three pick. I don't know. Let's just say let's just say top two pick. All right. If they're able to grab the top two pick, then you have plenty of wiggle room there. You have plenty of space, plenty of options. You can either keep that guy or you could turn around and see what's available. The big names, the teams that are willing to part with their quote unquote superstar or all-star, the big names that we've been hearing about in the last 2 years, you know, about teams that are maybe willing to start over and hit the reset button. And I think some of those names could become available if the Celtics are able to grab one of those two spots.
It seems like it, and I agree with you wholeheartedly. I mean, I think those two spots, not only because of the players there, but certainly everyone else sees the same thing we see, which is Ben Simmons and Brandon Ingram
are two guys that are
cut above. You know, they're cut above. And it, you know, some may say, well, you know, John Duke, of course, it's the name, it's the stage name, it's this, all that. Look, I've been a Duke fan going way back. All right, this is not a new thing. I've got my Duke game shorts on right now. I've got all kinds of karma going on. I don't have my lucky charms like Isaiah Thomas has right there at the green tie broadcast.
Right.
But I got my Duke shorts on. I got my Celtics shirt on. I'm thinking this is a good time for a combo. And even if there is a trade, and we'll get into that certainly later, I feel like we've got a lot going on. I think with this team, that, you know, for my benefit, I think that they are, if they can get a guy like Brandon Ingram, if they can get a guy like Ben Simmons, it changes everything. Now we can talk about certainly who we think is better. I think we're going to get into that. We do have a caller, and before we go to the caller, I just want to say, listen, folks, if you want to talk to us, we want to hear from you. We really want to hear your thoughts. You know, who do you prefer? Do you prefer Ben Simmons or Brandon Ingram? Do you want to trade the pick? We're going to get into all those things tonight. So the number, if you want to get a hold of us, 347-215-7771. That's the number to talk to Joe Sway and myself here as we get ready for, I think, one of the most exciting nights potentially in recent Celtics history. This could go back as far as the Garnett draft, you know, when they acquired Ray Allen, the singular nights, you know, pivotal changes in the team's history. This may be one of them, or it may be one we're all disappointed in an hour, and you know, that's just how that goes sometimes.
Yeah,
but
right.
You know, so let's go ahead to the caller. We got to Chris calling from the 617 area code. Chris, welcome to the CLNS Radio's Draft Lottery broadcast.
All right, guys, thanks for putting this on for us Celtics diehards. This is an exciting night. I had a couple thoughts, and I wanted to kind of get your reaction and get a little discussion back and forth on them. First thought is, do you remember back to the team we had with Al Jefferson, the summer, the spring before the epic summer? Like, you know, I remember where I was, what I was doing. I was an intern at an accounting firm when I first heard about the Garnett trade. You know, we all remember that. But let's not forget, we loved that team. We had young players on that team. We loved that team. I felt like this year, because we got so spoiled with how quickly Ainge brought us a championship and turned those young guys into, you know, legitimate superstars, that this year we Celtics fans, you know, collective, we haven't been appreciating kind of what we have in our younger players as much, and have just been anticipating the number one pick, the next superstar. And I just think that while we get excited about tonight and all the possibilities, that we also take a step back and say, hey, what's wrong with drafting a top three player, top four player, and having him grow with Marcus Smart and a team leader like Isaiah, who's what, only 26? I mean, we got a young team here. Like, I want a championship as much as the next person, but I love to see this team grow, and so I'm not going to be upset if we land number four or five and end up with Buddy Hield. I tell you, I don't think Chris Dunn. I don't know what about you guys, but I don't think he is appropriate for this team. Although he does remind me a little bit of a Russell Westbrook. You've seen Chris Dunn play, his style of play, the type of forceful athleticism he has, his ability in the open court. But like Russell Westbrook, he is not a great three-point shooter, and this team has point guards. So I don't know what you guys feel about that. What do you guys say? Who do you take at the number three spot if the Celtics get the number three pick?
Josue, you kick off. You lead us off on this one, Josue.
You want me to lead this off?
Yeah, do it, man.
I like how you mentioned Buddy Hield. I like him as an option, but for the number three pick, I think Danny's gonna have to go with the obvious pick here, which would be Dragan Bender. I know he's not the most sexy. He's not the sexiest pick, and he's not the guy who you look at as someone's gonna come in and deliver for you and give you, you know, a double double or score 20 points a night for you right away. But I think he has the skill set and he has the IQ of a guy who could develop into one of the most unique big men that we've seen in quite some time. I think that's the only thing that might upset Celtics fans, because he's not going to be a guy who develops right away. But I think he's someone
that has potential. That's the thing.
But to answer your first question, Chris, when you talked about the value of this young team, I don't think that's overlooked at all from Danny Ainge. You know, I think Danny Ainge sees a lot of value in these guys. You know, whether it was true or not, there was a report about a deal where the Celtics were interested in Jimmy Butler, and the deal fell through because he didn't want to include Jay Crowder. Whether that's true or not, I think either way, someone like Jay Crowder is very valuable for Danny Ainge and Brad Stevens. I don't think they overlook guys like Crowder or Turner or, you know, Isaiah Thomas. Of course, the biggest debate going into the playoffs is Isaiah Thomas that number one guy? Maybe he's not. Maybe he's not the franchise-changing guy who's going to lead a championship-contending team. But I think we can say in the next year or two, he could potentially be that third or second option even.
Well, you know, no doubt, and I guess I may have communicated myself not like I wanted to. I didn't mean to say that Danny Ainge doesn't value our young guys.
You're talking about the Celtics Nation, right?
Yeah, I'm talking
about Celtics Nation as a whole. Okay.
But Danny Ainge, you're totally on the money. Jay Crowder, he locked them up at, what, 5-6 mil per year. He's locked Isaiah up at around the same money. We've got Avery Bradley locked up at $8 million. He's already starting to whine a little bit, although I like that he toned it down and didn't really carry on about it. So, I hear you. The thing with Dragan Bender that scares me is we saw what Porzingis did in New York, right? But that's the outlier, in my opinion, with these European guys.
Right.
And I think that it just worries me taking such an unknown like that. I know that I think Danny Ainge's son does a lot of the European scouting. So hopefully we've got some good heads over there. But, you know, those guys, they play 10 minutes a game. We don't know what we have in them. But personally, let me tell you, I think Buddy Hield could be great for this team. But here's the question. I do not want Ben Simmons. If you look at how we lost in the playoffs, they were packing it in entirely. What does Ben Simmons do for us in the playoffs when the team's – pack it in and play five in the paint, and he can't even shoot a 15-footer, you know? Whereas a Brandon Ingram can actually stretch the floor. He's got length. He can defend multiple positions. That's the player to watch in this draft.
Yeah,
Another couple quick thoughts.
He's a special player.
Go ahead.
Sorry not to cut you off, but yeah, he's a special player. And that's another thing I wanted to allude to when you talked about at the beginning of your phone call, when you talk about Danny Ainge looking for a potential deal here, I don't think Danny's going to feel like he has to trade one of those guys. If he ends up with a Ben Simmons or if he ends up with a Brandon Ingram, I mean, let's be honest, from the past, from his track record, we know Danny Ainge is a bit of a stubborn guy, right? He's not someone that's going to just make a deal just to make a deal and hand over a top prospect like that just to do it. So I don't think it would be the worst case in the world if he doesn't, if he ends up with one of those guys and he decides to keep him and put him part of the Celtics future, that wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. But at the same time, you want to make sure that you don't miss out on a big deal if there's one available.
Josue, John, you know, this is your humble producer from behind the glass jumping in here real quick. I happen to agree with the caller, Chris, about Dragan Bender. I also happen to agree that if you get the number one, the number one choice, you definitely take Brandon Ingram. Ben Simmons has a lot of tools, but like Chris just noted, he doesn't really spread the floor, doesn't have an NBA-ready shot, isn't going to, you know, help us, you know, uncloud the paint when we have basically no three-point shot and two or three players that can drive to the paint. I think Avery is developing a little bit of a off, you know, the off the dribble, you know, get to the paint, you know, get to the hole type of game. But we also have Isaiah Thomas and Evan Turner. Marcus Smart has shown propensity to be able to post up, you know, smaller players or players of equal size, even bigger players. It doesn't help us to have Brandon Ingram out there not being able to shoot. So if we get the number one pick, I would absolutely hope we take Brandon Ingram. But aside from that, Dragan Bender, I think there's an issue with this contract. He plays for the Maccabi Haifa or something out there in Israel. And with those overseas contracts, I think there are certain rules about buyout to where the league can only help the player buy out a certain amount of their contract that goes down, you know, that goes up as the years go by. As the contract, you know, gets closer, that money becomes something like $500,000, not very much. So it would be up to Bender if he were, you know, wanting to come to the NBA sooner than in a year or two or three or whatever it is, would have to probably pony up the money himself or make some kind of agreement with an NBA organization, a franchise, that, you know, how to pay for, how to buy out that contract. Otherwise, he's going to be sitting over there in Israel for a couple of years. And that's not really, I don't think, what the Boston Celtics need at this moment in time. If they get anything other than the top, you know, one or two pick, if they can't get Ingram or Simmons as a, you know, consolation prize, I think it's trade time for that pick. I think it's trade time for that pick anyway, me personally, but that's just my opinion. But if you get, you know, 3-4, I think Hield probably helps you because he can shoot. I think that's what we need. We need somebody that can spread the floor more than we really need somebody that can, you know, get into the paint. But that's just me. Anyways, back to the booth.
No, and, you know, the other thing, the good point you made about Bender is what about Philadelphia? We forget about Philly. They drafted a European big man with one of their top, what, five picks. We haven't heard a damn thing, excuse me. We haven't heard anything
okay,
about
you
this
can
guy.
Say him.
You know, Sokic.
You
Sokic
can say that.
Is, I think his name. We haven't heard a damn thing about this guy. You know, there's too many unknowns, in my opinion, with the European guys. I do tell you, though, what got me excited about Buddy Hield, and the reason why, I know this may sound crazy, but as an illogical Celtics fan, I'd almost rather have Buddy Hield and Ben Simmons, is because in the NCAA tournament, what got me most excited about Buddy Hield, besides his ability to clearly just take over a game and be Stephen Curry-like in terms of being able to take a shot far enough, deep enough where, you know, he's always going to have that open shot, just like Curry's always going to have that open 35-footer because no one's going to guard you that close out. But Buddy Hield has some athleticism. He's got some ups. He got up for rebounds. He was a competitor, and this guy's a worker too. He comes from very humble roots. He doesn't come from this country. He's worked his whole life. You hear epic stories of him taking thousands of shots a day. I think he's the kind of player that this team can really fall in love with. Of course, we just got lots of small, little athletic guards, so that's, you know, kind of the conundrum there. But
I like the thought of Buddy Hield, obviously, because of his shooting ability. That's something that the Celtics were obviously lacking in the first round of the playoffs. They needed that outside threat, which is something that would come in perfect for the Celtics going into this upcoming season. But what worries me about Buddy Hield is his shot selection. He's a bit spotty. He's a streaky shooter. If he's not on, he's not necessarily giving you a whole lot of scoring if his shot's not falling. And I think he's a guy who may need a year or two to develop. But another guy who I like, if the Celtics end up with the fourth pick or maybe the third pick, depending on how he looks during their workout, because I think they will work this guy out, and that's Jaylen Brown. I really like Jaylen Brown, guys. I like his size. I like how he can drive to the hoop. He can blossom into a good defender. He has an incredible wingspan. I think it's up to about 7 foot wingspan that they measured him at the combine. I like him for this team, for terms of fitting in. And we also can't forget about Jamal Murray. And Jamal Murray is another potential option.
Yeah, Jamal Murray, to me, he's a Buddy Hield type. He hasn't proved himself as much as a Buddy Hield has. Buddy Hield, remember, is a senior. Jamal Murray's a freshman. The thing about Jaylen Brown is, and actually the next guy I was going to bring up, is what worries me about him is he is on paper. He's a Kawhi Leonard on paper, but he would disappear in games, and he has all the things you can't teach, which is exciting. And I think here's what I think about Jaylen Brown. If we draft him, that lets me know that he's got the work ethic and the mindset that Danny Ainge and Brad Stevens think he can work with, and then I'm super excited about him. But otherwise, I could see bust written on him. Although I said the same about Stanley Johnson, and he had a pretty good rookie year. Stanley Johnson had some of the same type of negatives being brought up about him as Brown has. There's also another rookie, another freshman on Cal, who is a big man who we should watch out for at, you know, the middle, the end of the first round. And what about North Carolina's Johnson? I saw him dominate some games against top flight teams. This guy is quick off his feet, Bryce Johnson. He's only about 6'10", but he's got an enormous wingspan. And he is an immediate he's an immediate shot blocker who has a nice, silky smooth jumper and is a senior, so he can contribute right away. And in my opinion, is a huge upgrade initially an upgrade over Amir, but he's someone who could be an upgrade over Amir Johnson. And I think we need to bring Amir Johnson back on this team. But yeah, guys.
Well, I think the issue I think you see with Bryce Johnson, and it's the same issue I think you're going to see with Buddy Hield, is the age thing. You know, these older guys, for what, you know, they're thought of as, you know, we've seen all their warts, we've seen the issues, we've seen the things they haven't been able to do. And, you know, as a result, there's questions that come about with him. And, you know, Buddy Hield, we know what he can do. We know what he can't do at this point. But at the same point, we look at some four-year players that have come into the league, and they've done very well. I mean, look at Lillard. A lot of these guys, they come in, and they've been very successful.
Lillard and McCollum.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I mean, you know, Portland's done very well off of – they got young – yes, they're still young, but they've worked those things out of their system. So I look at a guy like Hield. I look at a guy like Bryce Johnson. I think that with Buddy Hield, there's less inconsistency. Bryce Johnson's kind of had a rocky road, finished very strong, and good for him. But I think that with Hield, you saw him on an upward trajectory all year long, even with defenses that were schemed to try to stop him. He's not going to have that issue in the NBA. He's going to be the third scorer. He's going to be the second scorer if he can grow to that. So I think he can walk into a situation and be very successful in the NBA. I think athletically he's a step better than what people are saying. I thought he could have really helped himself doing the athletic testing at the combine. The fact he didn't do that, that's okay. But the fact that he's shown, I think, over and over again in the college game, my feeling was he did show some burst. I'm not sure he's got the ball handling to be able to break a guy down and get him to the bucket in the half court. But that's something you're working on the summer. You get to that point, and you know, I think he can grow into that player. I like Buddy Hield a lot in this draft, and I'm. You know, as opposed to my colleague this evening, I Jaylen Brown is a guy I'm a little bit skittish about. That the way that Cal team really flamed out early on scared me to death.
So, John, when we say old, what do we mean when we say old? Buddy Hield is only 22. I know he's seasoned in terms of, you know, college plays as a four-year player, but, I mean, he's 22. Isn't that what the Celtics kind of need, is somebody that comes in and has a little bit more poise and a little bit more, you know, of a steady game than these youngsters that spent, you know, a couple of years? I mean,
exactly.
Look at the exact opposite. We have James Young, who came in after a year at Kentucky and has basically, you know, sucked trash for the entire, you know, two years that he's been in Boston. And we still have people saying, oh, please give him a chance. We shouldn't cut him loose. No, cut that dude loose right now and save the space. We're going to need roster space.
Yeah,
we have eight picks. We have eight picks. And I think three of them are first-round picks. Three or four of them are first-round picks. And those are guaranteed contracts. If we end up like last season having to take all of those picks because nobody buys one of Danny Ainge's throw the entire house at, you know, Michael Jordan like occurred last year, we're going to be stuck with a lot of guaranteed contracts, and James Young should not be one of them. Just saying.
I think what he means by
right on the money
age, I think he's talking about the ceiling. You know, how has he reached the ceiling?
No, but here's the thing, though. It cuts both ways. A Buddy Hield showing that he improved year in, year out.
Right.
Plus NBA trainers. Hey, NBA trainers make a big difference between NBA trainers and NCAA trainers.
Guys, don't
There's
get me wrong,
difference.
Man. I like Buddy Hield. I've gone back and forth between Buddy Hield and Bender. I think if the Celtics land the fourth pick, they might have one of the easier decisions, because I think Bender might not even be available, because he might be taking the third pick, depending on which team is there. I like Buddy Hield. Don't get me wrong.
Want another guard. He's another guard.
Well, not necessarily that. I'm afraid of seeing him become one of the great NCAA shooters that we've seen in the past. You know, Jimmer Fredette.
Like Steph Curry.
Steph Curry. Okay, Steph Curry. Obviously, that's going to be a success. But, okay, for example, look at someone like J.J. Redick. J.J. Redick is – now he's a pretty good player, right? He's a starting shooting guard.
Yeah.
But how many years did it take him to become J.J. Redick? You know what I mean? So I feel like when you see
but J.J. Redick wasn't a Buddy Hield in college, remember? But Buddy Hield was a complete scorer. J.J. Redick was just a shooter. That's the difference,
well,
in my opinion.
I got to stick up for J.J. a little bit. I mean, he set the ACC all-time scoring record. So, I mean, he's sure he could fill it up. But I think he didn't show the same sort of ability to get to the bucket as Buddy has. I think Buddy has shown more ability in that way. But
yeah, okay, that's
they're
true.
They're both great players coming out. Both national player of the year candidates. And, you know, I think in terms of defensively, that was an area where JJ had to work on it
Buddy Hield
Orlando.
Has better footwork. That's true.
Yeah,
Hield has better footwork on defense, which
is
good.
Buddy Hield is a premier athlete compared to JJ Redick, you know, at this point in their careers. I don't think there's any doubt about that. JJ Redick was an amazing shooter, but he was a skinny-ass white guy. I mean, come on. And he's learned to play in the NBA and be a player years later. He led the league in three-point field goal percentage this year. You know, and he's just smart.
I mean, I like Buddy Hield, guys. I do. I just don't think – I mean, I think the Steph Curry comparisons are ridiculous.
These big men aren't exciting. The freshman from Marquette, the center, Ellison, he doesn't excite me.
I don't think the Celtics
are
going to get down that low. I don't think Ellison's going to be picked in the top five. Do you see him in the top five?
We got more than our top Nets pick, though, guys. We got three potential first-rounders.
Here's another question.
Yeah.
Since we do have a pick just outside of the lottery, where does Denzel Valentine go? Does he go in the lottery, or does he drop to us where we could get him?
I like that guy.
He
could fall anywhere between 11, 13, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. He's right around the end of the lottery. I think he's a guy that's going to do very well in these workouts as he's going through. He's poised.
Mm-hmm.
He's got enough of an ability. I think when these guys get him in a gym, one-on-one, two-on-two, these situations, he's going to move up probably, you know, as you said, maybe 11, maybe even the bottom part of the top 10. I think there's a lot of – once you get outside the top 6 or 7, there's going to be a lot of parity, I think, in terms of how these guys are going to go up and down. One guy's going to like a certain player. I think there's going to be a lot of movement, honestly. Trades, a lot of moving up and down in the draft to get a certain guy. I think Valentine, he very well could be, I should say, Evan Turner with a jump shot.
Evan Turner, he's a more skilled Evan Turner. He exactly is, because he can do the little things. He can handle the ball. He was the point forward for his team. He was a triple-double machine. But the difference is he's got skills on another level that Evan Turner didn't have. And Evan Turner was a number two pick. He is a little pudgy. But he is a four-year senior. But he's someone who I would be excited to have. But honestly, guys,
well, how about this? What if the Celtics do fall, God forbid, to the fourth or fifth pick? Do we take a chance to maybe grab somebody like, or maybe even the sixth pick guy? I don't even know if that's even possible. I think we have like a 5% chance at number six. Do we take the chance to move up and grab somebody like Denzel Valentine, who's kind of been underrated or flown under the radar in terms of mock drafts and draft boards so far? Do we take that pick? Because, I mean, he does model his game. He's openly expressed he models his game after Evan Turner. You could have Evan Turner showing him some of those ball handling skills, some of the back-to-the-basket skills, some of those things that Evan has learned in the league, and then polish off Denzel Valentine's game. Is that
that's
a possibility? He has size.
I don't know, fellas. You guys are hating on my boy Jaylen Brown, man. I don't know why you guys aren't talking about him.
No, Jaylen Brown.
Don't sleep on Jaylen, man. If the Celtics get
that fifth or fourth pick,
I mean,
you know what?
Think about it.
Brad Stevens likes skilled players. Brown's not a skilled player, guys. He's an athlete with no skill.
Yeah, but he's a hard-nosed, I think, could be an NBA-ready defender. That's what I'm thinking of. I'm thinking of someone that has a 7-foot wingspan, can defend the perimeter, and can probably defend up to three positions from the 2 to 4. I don't know. I like him. But to me, he could be someone that's a good fifth pick.
He might be convincing me there, Josue.
He does. He has the upside. I think the question is how much – are you willing to gamble on him? I think he might be the biggest gamble out of anybody, you know, at least in the top 10. Even, you know,
I think
he'll probably fall out of that, but I think he's the biggest gamble. Well, Bender, that's
Celtics,
fair. You're right. Bender, who knows? Yeah.
Besides Bender, but I just feel like
way, guys, just a second. Okay. I want to talk a bit about trades for a second. There was just a tweet going out there with showing Isaiah Thomas having a nice chat with Jimmy Butler in the green room before.
I want to know
what everyone's appetite is for a trade. Is that the preferred outcome of this draft, regardless of where the pick comes, or maybe do you look at it different ways? I'll start with you, Josue.
You hit it. That's the person I have in mind. I would love to see Jimmy Butler on this team. The only problem is I think the Celtics have to try to make a deal without including Jay Crowder. If they can get a pick in the top two, maybe top three, I don't know, top three might be pushing it. I think that they may be able to put together a package deal for Jimmy Butler without including Jay Crowder. And the thought of Jimmy Butler and Jay Crowder defending the wing positions just makes the Celtics look so strong. I think the people are underestimating. I mean, this is my ideal trade, I guess. I'm thinking this year's pick that they're about to find out where they are. I'm thinking of a future Brooklyn pick. I'm thinking Avery Bradley, and I'm thinking a prospect that you can put in there. I don't know whether that's.
What about if you have to give up Smart and you get? But what would you be willing to give up Smart?
I'd be willing to give up Smart.
And Bradley
in
this year's top two pick?
Bradley, Smart, and two picks.
Chicago was asking for Butler's teammate at Marquette, Jay Crowder. They wanted Jay Crowder to fill in that spot. My thing is,
yeah, they're huge on
Crowder. If they ask for anybody other than, I mean, obviously you don't want to give away Isaiah Thomas or anything, but if they ask for either Marcus Smart or Avery Bradley, you do that because you can put either one of them at the two and still have the exact same type of defensive lineup that I think my phone was cutting in and out that I believe Josue was talking about, where you have, you know, Isaiah Thomas may be somewhat of a liability, but then you have Avery Bradley or Marcus Smart at the two, then have Butler there, maybe even move, you know, Jay Crowder up to the four, which there's been a lot of talk of doing that with the small ball. And then if you could possibly somehow, I know it's a complete, you know, shot in the dark, but maybe sign someone like, if not a Whiteside, maybe get a, you know, trade for a Biombo or get Biombo or somebody who can block shots in the paint. Who's going to score? Because they can't get past the perimeter. And if they do, there's going to be somebody with, you know, a 7-foot-4 wingspan to slap that ball out of there. That's, I mean, the ideal situation. I definitely like Jimmy Butler. I think waiting until maybe next season for the free agency when Gordon Hayward, Brad Stevens player from Butler, can opt out of his contract at Utah and then just come straight over here, that would be a fantastic. I mean, there's a lot of things that can happen and a lot of players that I think would fit in really well with this team. I just think the one thing that Brad Stevens values as much as anything else is talent and versatility. Talent and versatility. The more positions you can play, the more time you're going to get in Stevens' system, which is why I think Avery Bradley, to me, is the most expendable player because he has nowhere else to go but the two, and he's even smaller than the two.
Well, if you start with someone like Avery Butler.
I got to jump off, guys, but I want to ask one last question before I jump off.
Yeah,
would you rather give up Smart and Bradley or Crowder?
Well, I think it's going to
say give up Crowder than Smart and Bradley because of the depth. Because when we get a Jimmy Butler, we max him out in free agent, we max him out, then we know that it's hard to acquire players on the bench. And so I'd rather keep Marcus Smart on his rookie year deal, and I'd rather keep Bradley in his locked-in 7 mil. But besides that, that's the only reason why I would go that way. Anyways, guys, got to jump off. Thanks for letting me spend some time on the show. I really appreciate it.
I think Marcus Smart has as much of an upside as Crowder has shown. So I think he has the potential to have that kind of upside, not the size, but he has that killer instinct, he has that grit, he has that hustle, he has the intangibles that I think that, you know, and then Avery Bradley is probably our best shooter, our most consistent shooter, not that I think he's fantastic and not that I'm the biggest Avery Bradley fan, but I think in that situation, giving up, you know, two of those type caliber players, in addition to a pick, which you know Chicago's going to want because they're obviously, if they're giving up Jimmy Butler, they're going to be rebuilding. That's just way too much. Avery Bradley and Marcus Smart plus a pick? You just made my heart, like, you know what I'm saying? I might have a heart attack. It's a big one, like Red Fox used to say. No, I would rather part with Jay Crowder and a pick than Avery Bradley and Marcus Smart. And I don't even really much care for Avery Bradley, but I'm just saying you can't give up all that talent plus a pick for Jimmy Butler, as good as Jimmy Butler is, especially when Jimmy Butler and Jay Crowder are somewhat interchangeable, Jimmy Butler being kind of a 3-2 and Crowder being more like a 3-4, but still, you know, being able to fill that, you know, 3 spot, that basic, you know, wing spot.
Right. I mean, you know, part of what you love about Crowder is that he's got that contract and he's got that positional flexibility.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's a lot of reasons to love Crowder, but, you know, how much better than he, or how much better than Bradley is Crowder in terms of another team's look at it? And to me, that's, if you could keep two good assets and give up one instead, you know, in that case, you got to do that every time. I love Crowder. To me, as you said, I think Bradley is the expendable one, and, you know, that, not to say he's not worth anything, though. He's worth a great deal, I think. And I think he's somebody who they may look to package. But he's also, I think, someone who's relied upon by Brad Stevens. It's not going to be an easy guy to deal. They're not going to want to move him. But as you said, when you bring in Jimmy Butler, when you bring in somebody who is going to really change the face of your franchise, you can't have everything, right? It'd be great, but you can't. You've got to give up something of value, and Bradley's that guy. So, you know, but does it mean Smart's got to go? I mean, I'm not sure what the package looks like. I'm terrible at those things, about making up deals. But to me, you know, if you could get Jimmy Butler, as long as it's not going to cost you an arm and a leg and you still have some assets left over to acquire other pieces, you got to do it. He's, like, as you said, he's the guy. He's the guy to me that would really be a perfect fit here and just allow us to do so many things we do now, but just do them better. And that is such a huge thing for this team and this franchise and Brad Stevens and everybody going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But there's other options out there. That's just one of my favorites, though. I really like the thought of Jimmy Butler.
There are. No, I'm with you.
I agree completely. I like Jimmy Butler. I think I even like, I mean, obviously Kevin Durant is, you know, is Superman. But I think Jimmy Butler fits. I think, you know, in terms of what we can possibly get, I think the KD thing was a pipe dream. But, I mean, definitely, I agree with that. And I think that the fireworks, if there are any fireworks, anything more than, you know, like a little, one of those little sizzler thing, one of those little, you know, twinkler things that we have at the 4th of July, if there's anything more than just a small ember, a spark, if there's anything resembling a firework, it's going to come via trade. It's not going to be, you know what I'm saying, a free agent signing. I just, the free agent pool this year is just too small. I think we'll sign free agents. I think Amir Johnson's probably out the door. I think Jared Sellinger's probably out the door. I think we're probably going to end up, if the fireworks come, it's going to be via trade with that pick, with whatever the pick we get, depending on what you know, where it comes, 1 through 4, hopefully somewhere, you know, higher than that, or higher than 4. But and some of our players, a package of some of our players, because we just have too many players on contract, and if we end up having to sign even a couple of these picks from the draft, we're not going to have any roster space either. It's just going to be just packed. We have, you know, Jordan Mickey still there. We have, you know, Rozier. We have Hunter. We have all these guys that are just too young and too unpolished to really contribute to a team that needs somebody that's ready to contribute now and help them now. So I think that's where it's going to come. And then with the trade, that, you know, trade, it's money, equal money for equal money. So that still leaves, you know, the, you know, 15 to 20 million in space to sign free agents, like, let's say, for example, Jordan Hill or Jan Mahinmi to replace, you know, Jared Sellinger's contributions, you know, something like 9 points and 7 boards, you know, which is basically what Jared Sellinger did and Amir Johnson did. I think that's what we're looking at, or Kent Bazemore, or, you know, Myvan Williams or something like that. I think those are the free agents we're going to end up getting, and the fireworks will end up coming through trade if we get them, if we have fireworks.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead.
Go ahead, Joseph.
Well, I was going to say, hypothetically, right? Let's say Ainge gives in, all right? He gives the Bulls 2 first-round picks. He trades Avery Bradley. He trades Jay Crowder, and he gets Jimmy Butler in return. Now, let's say the Celtics turn around, and with Jimmy Butler already on their roster, and they add a rim protector. I will love the thought. I love the thought of Hassan Whiteside in the Celtics uniform, but I just don't think Ainge is willing to give him that much money, because he's going to demand a lot of money, and another team is going to give it to him, and it won't be the Celtics. I can see Ainge looking at someone like Biyombo. We saw what he's been doing during this playoffs run. He's been huge for the Raptors. Or even someone like you mentioned him before, Mahimi. I don't hate Mahimi as someone that could help you rebound and contribute in the paint. And let's say he grabs or he re-signs Evan Turner and grabs another free agent at the wing, like Nick Batum, for example. Let's just say one of those guys, or Marvin Williams, or I don't know, someone like that, in that caliber. Is that a horrible team? Are the Celtics a better team than they were a year ago? Because in my opinion, they might be. I mean, Jimmy Butler and Isaiah Thomas could easily become the second best, or if not the top backcourt in the Eastern Conference, rivaling Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan. Assuming that they're able to sign him to a deal, which I think they will.
Right. That's right. No, I think you're right. I think they do. You go from having a pretty good backcourt. I think, you know, consistent or pretty good backcourt to, you know, you're in that class, I think, of among the best. You know, I'd love to see them do more to bolster the front court. You know, that's the only problem with making the big play for a guy like Jimmy Butler, is that you're basically strengthening a position of already having some strength there. We've talked about some other guys that, you know, DeMarcus Cousins is a name that's going to come up. If it has, you know, it hasn't come up a ton, but it has at least of late. But he's certainly going to be a name that's mentioned a lot. I think there's other guys out there that maybe we're not immediately thinking of, because they seem to be, you know, maybe in safer situations, like maybe like Jimmy Butler, not someone talked about until really after the trade deadline. This is going to be, I think there's other guys that Ainge is going to be poking around about, trying to see if they can get them free. I don't think the Kevin Love discussions are over, to be quite honest. I think James Harden is another name. I mean, I think there's a lot of those guys, anybody that's on even the slightest bit of fringe of this, Danny's going to be using that top 5, top 6 pick to use as the you know, the real inducement to try to get them to come here and to make a deal. He's going to be willing to make a deal and overpay in terms of trade, just so he can make that jump. I don't think he's going to go 4 picks for Justice Winslow, but he's going to give more than his share to make that deal. And he may get some criticism for it, but who cares? As long as we get the guys, right?
Yeah, I'm with you, man. I mean, I'm in love with Jimmy Butler being right next to Jay Crowder, man. That would be ideal.
tough. Dude, I mean, just toughness. You just ooze toughness. And Isaiah, I mean, he's a tough little son of a gun, too. We see them. They're now going through the guys there on the stage there at the draft lottery. We should mention, and thanks for Nick for the reminder, Jared Weiss, our buddy there, is doing a Facebook Live feed right there. He's calling me out, putting shots forward. He says he thinks everyone should be tuning in mostly to see if I have a meltdown if the C's get the fifth pick. This is what he's tweeted out. So I don't know what he's doing on his Facebook feed, but this is going to be like that. The people when Malcolm Butler made the interception there, the people in Seattle, all those devastating films. I'm hoping we don't see a repeat of that. It's the reverse. Everyone's happy. I'm going to be positive, Jared. Sorry, I'm turning the frown upside down, my man. Anyway, big time. This is the big time. We're getting very, very close, Joe Sway.
This is a lot of nerves. This night could change the franchise. We're going to have to wait and see. Moments away.
Well, we got the accountants on the stage now. This is all happening. And the scary thing is, this all happened a long time ago. It's whatever it is known. It's done. It's over. So, it's kind of foolish. We're sitting here. This whole spectacle. I'd like to see them make a change to this. This is one of the most important things that can impact the franchise for years and years and years. I mean, basically, LeBron is not in Cleveland without they're getting. A chance to draft Andrew Wiggins a couple years back. Why are we doing this to Chance? I'm going to say this right now. Why are we giving this up to Chance? There should be a better way. Because I think the worst team should have a better chance to get the worst player. I think what we saw, what happened with the Philadelphia situation, I think we've seen what the other side of this is, which is tanking doesn't work. They can't sustain that for long. Let's go to the wheel. Let's not go to the wheel. Let's just make it more based upon how bad these teams are and let the bad teams get better. That's my feeling. Maybe that's just the nerves talking right now. This is, a lot going on. Right now, they're a commercial break. We are going to still take your calls. Again, we're going to be on after the show here. You can give us a call, 347-215-7771 here on Celtic Stuff Live. It's just force of habit, Joe Sway. It's just force of habit.
It's just part of your routine.
CLNS Radio's NBA Draft Lottery broadcast. Very excited. The nerves, the heart palpitations, it's all there. It's all happening right now. We've been waiting how long for this? All those years of trying to get to the point where we are at this moment, watching all those Brooklyn losses, hoping that they would start to pile up so we could get back in this position, and then also have the benefit of being able to cheer on your own team, which is a pretty great thing that Danny's been able to do. So we're going to be taking your calls immediately after. Not sure how long we'll go after this, after the radio. After the broadcast finishes on TV, and we'll probably just stick with whomever's on the line and try to wrap up some thoughts with that. Also, Jared Weiss, and we'll be on the WEI's the podcast, the CLNS Radio. They'll be doing their podcast, which is a great show. They'll be taking all of this stuff that all that's going on and really capturing the reaction to that. So definitely look for that. Look for to download the podcast as well tomorrow. This is things are getting very, very close right now. They're coming back from commercial break. Oh, man.
Oh, you're feeling it now. You're feeling the sweats, huh?
I got a heart attack on the podcast. Oh, so things are happening now. Basically right now what we're looking at in the early parts here is obviously to see who jumps up. That was the big thing, right, with Cleveland. Cleveland jumped up out of the 10th spot and got up to number one. So the main thing we want to see is have this thing go according to – just go directly, right line, Bulls, Wizards, Jazz, Magic – Bucks and upward down the line. And let's just hope that things keep in that direction. Let's just say Bulls, Wizards, Jazz, Magic. That's what we want to see in order. So Mark Tatum on the road here doing the thing. I've had Mark Tatum as my avatar for my Twitter,
which could be good luck or bad luck.
Just trying to send some good vibes this way. Either way, right? You know, either way, it's going to go there. Jimmy Butler doesn't look happy. He's like, I got to get out of here. Give me the Boston, Danny. Make it happen.
Here we go. Top six.
Now I'm watching online, so I feel fine. So feel free to, if something happens, let me know. On my feed, we just saw Utah. Now we're seeing the Magic. So I'm a bit behind everybody.
Oh, yeah, you're behind.
So feel free to go nuts. You'll go nuts, Joe Sway, when things start happening.
Sounds good.
Ooh, so when top, did I see fourth pick is the Suns? So yeah. I'm just following on Twitter, and Twitter's saying the Suns are four. So,
oh,
if that's
they're going
the case,
to commercial break. Yep,
the Suns are in the
four.
Top three.
I completely forgot they go to a commercial break.
Losing my mind.
Oh, man.
They do. So we can all have a heart attack collectively, all in England, all at once. Oh, my goodness. The Celtics have a top three pick. Wow. We just need a lottery guard to be smiling on last month. Just one pick. Even just one pick up. That's all we need. Just one pick up, and I'm excited. Because they can do something with Simmons. I think Simmons is a guy, again, we're just kind of filling air until they come back from commercial break. I'm not in front of the TV, so people going nuts, go no nuts without me here. But, you know, they can do things with Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons, I think if he goes to play for a coach like Brad Stevens, he can get the most out of him. Now, there's definite downsides with his inability to shoot. That's the real problem, especially on this team. But you start making some trades, you know, who knows what happens, even if they keep that pick. If they don't keep the pick, then maybe you're talking, you know, who knows. But, you know, but I think if you keep Ben Simmons here, you'd have a chance to do some things. Brandon Ingram, I mean, I don't even say anymore. The guy can shoot. And then also, the beauty about being top three is that you've got a chance now to take your pick of the rest of those guys. You like Jaylen Brown? You got your chance for him. You want Dragan Bender? You got him. You want, you know, Chris Dunn? Boom, it's yours. You've got those options before you now, which is a great place to be for the Celtics. You know, if they do take that pick, if they don't take that pick, hey, who knows? But the fact that they're even, you know, in this position, this is so much better than the Marcus Smart draft. I mean, you remember Joe Sway. There was a real question. What was going to happen there? You know, when they started going down, you were hoping they could leapfrog maybe Utah. Maybe they could get ahead of Orlando. They end up with Marcus. I'm happy with the Marcus Smart pick. But they could have been in the position to take Embiid. Not Embiid. They could have, you know, could have had Aaron Gordon. They could have had Dante Exum. But those guys went before him, 4 and 5. So they didn't have a chance to make those choices. Would they have still taken Marcus Smart? It seems like it. It seems like they liked him. Again, I'm trying not to have a heart attack here, but Joe Sway, if you were in the fourth pick in that draft, would you say third pick, would you have taken Embiid? Would you have taken Exum? Where would your mind have gone on that one, Joe Sway?
Well, if it's up to me, if I'm Danny Ainge, I'm probably gonna go towards Embiid. You know, I mean, I think at that time he was the best choice for that pick.
You had to. I mean, I was a big fan of Embiid. I think he's worth rolling the dice. I think if he's healthy, he's going to be a great player. If he's not healthy, you know, hey, it's a problem. But to me, that's the thing, is like you want the chance to pick that guy, you know, whether you turn him down or not. Okay. Uh-oh. We got third. Okay. Well, there we go. So
look at Isaiah's face. He's pissed.
That stinks.
Lakers grab second.
Look. Who did?
Lakers grab second. Philadelphia gets the first pick.
Okay.
So here comes the big conversation for tomorrow in terms of Dikembe Mutombo spilling the beans early about them getting the first pick overall.
Yeah.
This lottery's rigged, man. I'm officially on the bandwagon now. It's rigged. It's rigged. It is
find
rigged.
Find out the results and then it's rigged. Yeah.
He tweeted that out around 4 o'clock today.
He did. He did, and I think everyone. And then he deleted it. I guess shortly thereafter. So, look. Here's the thing. If you're going to trade the pick either way, does it make a huge difference if it's? I mean, it makes a difference in terms of what you're going to have to give up, but it does. Does it make a huge, huge, huge difference? You know, you've got all these assets. Could it be? It could be a far worse situation. You end up fifth. You end up sixth. What is your? I mean, to me, while I wish we were second, first or second, the fact that they're third, I think isn't a bad thing. You beat the odds in being third. So this is the first time I think the Celtics since '86 at least did better in the lottery than they were actually slotted. So. It's a small win, a very, very small win, but it's what it is. What are your thoughts right now? I mean, is it Dragon Bender or bust now? Or are you thinking Jalen, Jalen Brown? Where's your head at right now, Joe Sway?
I'm thinking Bender, Heald, and I don't know. I don't know if Jalen Brown, depends how good he does with the workouts. Again, I think he could be someone that the Celtics may consider. I think those are my three right now. Bender is clearly up there in terms of the favorite at this particular time. But again, the workouts and how he responds to those meetings with the Celtics will eventually, see where the Celtics are at. It's just frustrating, man, because I always think if the Celtics get the second pick, that's the easiest decision in the entire draft. You know, it's whoever doesn't get picked between Simmons and Ingram. So then now the Celtics are in a position where, A, this trade might not be as valuable. Oh, I'm sorry. This pick might not be as valuable and a big deal. And B, which one of these guys is going to come through for the Celtics and be a contributing factor for next season? You know, so these are questions they're going to have to ask themselves. Whereas the second pick, I think, whether it's Simmons or Ingram, would have held a lot more value going into the offseason.
Yeah. No, it's true. Absolutely. I mean, I think using those trade chips as opposed to the third pick as a trade chip, it's underwhelming, certainly. That said, it's better to be third than fifth. It's better to be third than fourth. I was resigning myself to the fifth pick, I think, for a long time, just using past history as a guide. But they held form. They got third. I think that they can do something with that. I think it's going to mean they're going to have to pay more to make a deal. But all along, I felt like that this pick is going to get traded no matter where it fell. And so I right now there's – as you said, I mean, for me, Heald is a guy I like a lot. Probably he's the only one that I've liked more so than the others. I haven't seen enough of Bender, honestly. I've watched all the Draft Express videos and all that. And I know he's not Kristaps Porzingis, because Kristaps Porzingis actually played a lot in a tough league. And while Bender plays in a tough league, he doesn't play a lot. So I'm not there on Bender right now. Murray, I think, is duplication there. He does a lot of the same things that we have guys that can do right now in terms of that tweener two guard. I'm just not there on Murray either. Dunn, not a shooter. Again, another point guard. So we're really in a tough spot. But somebody's going to want those guys. You don't think Chicago's going to need a guard, whether they get a guard from us or not. You know, look at Sacramento. Look what they have for a guard situation. If they could get a point guard to go with, they're going to be eighth. Very likely, all of the good point guards are going to fall away before they get to eight. So let's say you send the number three pick for Boogie and other things. I think there's a package to be made there that makes sense for them. So, hey, look, it's disappointing for sure.
I love the idea of having Boogie Cousins in a Celtics uniform, but I just think at this point the Kings are just ready for. I mean, it's going to take him to like physically assault someone or someone in management for them to trade him. I mean, they're just not giving up on this guy. I mean, they're going through coach after coach. They're just trying to find a match because they will not look to trade him unless he does something crazy like that. You know what I mean? So I you know, his numbers, they just those type of guys, they just don't grow on trees. And I think they're going to hold on to him for at least another year. I don't think the window for Cousins is completely closed for the Celtics, but for the next season, I can say with almost 100% certainty that it may be, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. You're probably right. They probably won't deal him. I think, you know, it's such a dysfunctional situation there in Sacramento. It's really hard to get a sense of what that is and where that's going and all that.
Oh, it's a mess. It's a mess.
Who are you talking to? And who? I mean, there's, it's bad, you know. And unfortunately, it's very as they always say, it takes two to make a deal. And if you can't have a partner to deal with, what are you doing? At the same point, you never know what could happen with Sacramento. I mean, it was like 2 days before, and all of a sudden you've had George Karl calling teams trying to trade Boogie Cousins underneath Vladdy's nose. So you never know what could happen. It's going to be interesting. I mean, Philly, I don't know. I mean, you got to think they're going to take Ingram, right? I mean, they have no shooting. They have no guards. You need somebody to spread the floor for your bigs. That's another situation. Maybe you can make a minor deal there, and maybe you trade the third pick. If you can't get anything else, maybe you trade the third pick to get Okafor or something like that. That may be the deal, you know, on the low end of the scale. That may be the type of deal you end up with. I think there's trades to be made. I don't think they're gonna get stuck with somebody that they don't like or doesn't fit. So that's just kind of what it is. So we're gonna wrap this show up. First of all, Joe Sway, good chatting with you tonight. I think we had a good time, but unfortunately we weren't the lucky ones. We'll have to bring either our own lucky charms or bring somebody else in to do the show next time.
Hey, we'll see what Trey Denny does with this pick, man. There's still a good chance that he may deal it, so we'll have to wait and see. But I had a good time, John. Thank you for having me, man. This is fun.
Hey, thanks for coming on. Thanks for doing co-hosting with me here tonight. I want to say, listen, you guys got to get over to Jared Weiss and Sam Packard. They're doing the show right now. It's the Onus Radio. You need to get a listen to that. Listen to the podcast
check them out.
Tomorrow. Check them out. Those guys are doing a great job. Love what they do. And, you know, listen, Celtics Stuff Live is going to be back on the air this weekend. We're going to have more on this pick, more on what we haven't even – I think the name that hasn't even come up tonight is Kevin Durant. What happens with Kevin Durant now? Does it change how the Celtics might look? I don't think so. But, you know, all that, more to come. Larry H. Russell, we having more. I mean, this is Celtics Beat. I mean, look, this is a long march here in the next 6 weeks here until we get to the July 1st start to free agency and the end of the NBA draft itself. So a lot more to come on CLNS Radio. Looking forward to it. Thanks again, everybody, for listening tonight. And we'll look forward to on all the different options on CLNS Radio. Look forward to having you soon. Thanks again, everybody. Have a good night.